Planning your next trip? Choice Hotels family of 22 brands has over 7,400 locations and the perfect hotel for any traveler you want to be. Like a Cambria Hotel, serving up locally inspired craft cocktails for all my folks who maybe want to meet up and talk about Mad Royals. Check into a Radisson Hotel with flexible workspaces for you drivers who listen during business travel. Or a Comfort Hotel with free hot breakfast, family-friendly pools, and big spacious rooms for the parents who listen with their kids and need a little retreat. What are you waiting for? Join Choice Privileges and start earning points toward your next stay. Find a stay for any you when you book direct at choicehotels.com, where travels come true.
Looking to part ways with complicated, expensive, and uncertain shipping? Then give your business the edge it needs with USPS Ground Advantage shipping from the United States Postal Service. Keep everything simple with clear upfront pricing and no unexpected surcharges. Keep things affordable with some of the lowest prices out there. And keep it all reliable with on-time ground shipments. It's time to turn shipping to your advantage. Learn how at usps.com/advantage. USPS Ground Advantage. Simple, affordable, reliable.
What if AI could help your business deliver mission-critical outcomes with speed? With IBM Consulting, your business can design, build, and scale trusted AI using Watson X and modernize the way you work to accelerate real impact. Let's create AI that transforms your business. Learn more at ibm.com/consulting. IBM. Let's create.
When you think about the future, what kind of technology do you envision? Whatever the future holds, artificial intelligence will undoubtedly be at the heart of it all. Join Graham Class as he hosts Season 2 of Technically Speaking, an Intel podcast, and hear from the minds transforming healthcare, retail, entertainment, personal computing, and more with the help of AI. Tune in every other Tuesday and explore the latest technology that's changing our world today and creating a more accessible tomorrow. Listen to Technically Speaking, an Intel podcast on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts. Welcome to Stuff You Missed in History Class, a production of iHeartRadio.
Happy Friday. I'm Tracy V. Wilson.
I'm Holly Fry.
One of the episodes we talked about this week was Cecilia Payne Gaposchkin.
Pretty great.
Pretty great. Like I said at the top of the show, I don't love the sexism that was part of this episode, but I do love her. One of the points that has been made about her is that her discovery was of the same caliber as, like, the discovery of gravity. like she should have a name that's recognizable as somebody like Isaac Newton, but it's not. And something that I read in several places and thought myself that I didn't get into in the episode, because it is really conjecture, is she was so brilliant and so meticulous and so determined. What else might she have discovered if she had not had to be Harlow Shapley's assistant?
Right.
Because of her sex.
If she could have just been exploring what excited and interested her.
Yeah.
We will never know.
Nope.
But she should be as well recognized as an Isaac Newton or an Einstein or...
Mm-hmm.
We're going to keep fighting the fight, right? We at least get her name out there a little more.
Yeah.
And then the next person can talk about her to somebody and go, hey, have you ever heard of this woman? And then
we'll
eventually get her more recognized.
Well, and I do really want to recommend the new biography of her. It just came out, I feel like maybe March-ish of this year. It's pretty new. It's by Donovan Moore. And it's called What Stars Are Made Of, The Life of Cecilia Payne Gaposchkin. It is from Harvard University Press. It's really lovely and really, I mean, obviously very thoroughly researched with lots and lots of footnotes. You can also find her her autobiography still. She loved literature so much that the way she wrote about things could be, like, very lyrical and beautiful, in addition to just interesting and full of details about her life.
Do you know, this occurred to me during the episode and I didn't want to derail us with this question, but did you ever find, because you mentioned her students talking about how she was very intimidating, but her lectures were very beautiful and very memorable. Mm-hmm. Are there lecture notes? Like, do we ever have any of her?
I don't know.
Because that would be amazing reading,
that
I think.
That would be amazing. Well, and considering that she was alive into the 70s, I wasn't able to watch the whole talk, but I watched the beginning of a talk that was about this book by the author. And in the introduction, the person introducing the author talked about having actually taken classes with her back in the 70s when she was still teaching at Harvard. So it would not surprise me. I know there are collections of her manuscripts and whatnot. Yeah. If there were not a pandemic, I would just go over to Harvard.
Well, one day you put it on the list of things to do. Put it in the dream book of things you wish to do after this is all over. Yeah, I feel like she's one of those people. I knew a veterinarian. This is going to sound like it's completely different, but I'm making a point. I knew a veterinarian at one point that one of their colleagues was telling me that they always loved to, like, they were always very comfortable stepping into treating a patient for that vet if she was ever out, because her notes and her details about everything that had gone on were so meticulous and so well written that it was almost like reading a novella about that animal. And like, you would know walking in not only what all of its medical stuff was, but like about its disposition. And you had a pretty good sense of like the creature you were about to treat. And I feel like her notes in prep for her lectures are probably very similar.
Yeah. One of the reasons that I feel a kinship with her, I am not in any stretch the brilliant scientist slash just mind in general that she was. But the way her early school teachers approached her, like making her the object for the rest of the class, I had teachers that did that to me and it sucked. So some of the stories about like, you know, this child beat all of you in this exam. How did you let this child do that? Like, I would be the like, Tracy behaved. Why can't the rest of you behave like Tracy? And I was like, well, now I'm mortified and my peers are going to bully me. Like, that was a piece of our story that there was overlap in. And I wanted to go yell at her teachers, who are all dead from so long ago at this point.
That didn't bother me, although it does remind me of a funny story that I will tell you that is embarrassing, because I definitely, like, I was that kid for a long time. And then as I got into my teenage years and started sowing my wild oats, I stopped being so much that kid. And I pretty much, like, maxed out in terms of, like, the amount of study I was willing to do. And so there were classes that I ended up getting into that I probably shouldn't have been in, but there I was, and I just kind of soldiered through. And the first exam that we had senior year in physics, I was the only person who got an A.
Oh, wow.
Oh, don't even. Because this teacher went on about like how promising a student I was. And all, girl, I made that stuff up. I was like guessing. It was literally like winning the lottery of exams. Like I couldn't have told you a single thing or understood a single concept on that test.
Oh,
but
wow.
There we were. And so it was like this awkward thing, as you know, in those kinds of classes go, and you form study groups and people are like, oh, Holly probably knows this. I'm like, I don't know what you're talking about.
Definitely don't.
And then I just underperformed the rest of the year. So just
balance it out.
I had quite forgotten that until just this moment.
Well, today's behind the scenes includes stories from Tracy and Holly's earlier academic life. Anyway, I love Cecilia Payne Gaposchkin.
She's pretty great.
You can find pictures of the portrait of her online. I do not know if where that is hanging at Harvard is a place that's accessible to the public. But if it is, that will also be on the list of things to do after the pandemic, which one can hope will ever be over.
I know my list is getting very long while we wait. This week we talked about Maria Anna Mozart, who is someone who kind of pops up in my consciousness and on my list, and then I have gone to other things, but it felt like time for her. It's interesting because I think she gets sensationalized a little bit as like the other wunderkind of the Mozart family who was, you know, cast aside, and that's not entirely accurate. One thing that I found really, really interesting in all of my research is the different ways that different historians and biographers have characterized their father Leopold. because some make him out definitely to be something of a controlling monster. Whereas others really are like, well, wait, some of this looks really controlling to the modern eye, but like his whole thing of like, I don't want you to perform anymore could legitimately have been a concern that he was afraid she would never get married and have like a normal life if she did that.
Right.
There are certainly also benefits to him keeping her at home, taking care of him and the house and all of his stuff. It's and we'll never know, really, because there are some pretty big gaps in the record of some of those relationships, some of which we talked about on the show. Allegedly, letters between Wolfgang and Leopold about Constanze got burned by Constanze. So we don't really know
right. What
discussions happened between father and son about that marriage. There's a lot more there. Obviously, it wasn't an episode about Wolfgang, but his whole life story is complicated and full of twists and turns. And like, Constanze was not the first sister of that family that he had been involved with. And like, there's an extra layer of complication there.
Drama.
Yes, there's a lot of drama, but it's a very interesting, that whole family. There's so many people who literally just focus on that family, and it's far reaching, influences on music and culture that we still feel today. But I would never claim to be anything more than a dilettante in that regard. But it is pretty fascinating to read different people talk about their theories about the family interpersonal communication.
Sure.
I mean, I the whole allowing her father to raise her son is one that people get really hung up on, which understandably, it's super weird. It's not super strange necessarily for a grandparent to raise somebody's child.
Yeah.
But the nature of that whole, like, I went and gave birth and then I left the kid with my dad and went home to my home where theoretically that child could have returned home. There was no reason, that makes it a little bit hard, I think, for people to wrap their brains around.
Yeah. Well, and I can imagine scenarios where it doesn't seem that strange at all. And some of them we kind of nodded to, like there were already a lot of children at home, but a lot of the time, like when I have known people who say had a sibling and a lot of kids in the sibling's family, and usually it's been one of the older children who has come to live with them, not a newborn.
Right.
I think the newborn is the part that
makes it a little bit hard to parse. Yeah. Yeah. I mean, as you're pointing out, right, every family has its own dynamics and shifts and ways to like function and cope in times of strain. That one just seems like such a strange Leopold wanting to then be like, no, this is a permanent arrangement. I'm raising him as my kid. My initial reaction was, oh, I bet he wanted Mozart Part 2. Mozart the sequel, especially when you consider that, he had reached that point where he was no longer really part of his son's career in a way that I think formed his identity for a long time. So then to kind of be like, we don't need you in that capacity anymore, probably messed with his head. That's always my thing that I try to remember. I think you do as well. I think most people probably do, whether they're conscious of it or not. Any figures we talk about in history were humans that were dealing with their own complex internal stories, whether they were aware of how they were processing things and behaving or not. How many times have any of us, I know it's happened to me where I'll be behaving in a way and even I know like this is making unnecessary friction in my life.
Right.
And then I'll think about it and go, oh, I see. I'm not actually coping with this other thing. But if you don't think about that, you never get to that solution and the behavior continues and it creates all kinds of other problems. And everybody has had that. So I think about how many big historical moments or events or even figures in terms of specific people have really been formed by that kind of thing where like a moment of introspection would have completely changed the trajectory. We can never know. It's just a fascinating sort of brain puzzle to distract yourself with.
Yeah. The thing that I think makes me the saddest about their story, like I wish she had been able to have a career publicly as a musician or a composer, but like the society was not really open to that at the time.
No, there were a few women who performed in music, but again, those were like the outliers.
Right,
they were not.
Right. But just in terms of their personal story, the fact that they had that she and her brother had been so close when they were little. And then when they became adults, each of them really did not have a sense of what was going on in the other one's life anymore. And that's the part to me that like makes me really sad for them.
Yeah.
Like this, I have, you know, a sort of alternate history wish. Like I'm imagine somebody has written a historical novel about things went differently and she was able to continue and perform as an adult. But like the thing that I really just wish I could go back and do is like get them to just be more connected to each other as they grew up.
Right. Yeah, it's also interesting because as much as Leopold may not have been particularly enthused about Constanze, and perhaps Maria Anna wasn't either, like that really does seem to have been a pretty good match for Wolfgang in terms of like she stood by him through a lot of stuff,
mm-hmm.
you know, wealth and poverty and having many children and a lot of stress. And so it's a little interesting that their judgment on that matter might not have been awesome. And as a consequence, that's where, you know, that breakdown seems to have happened for a lot of their family relationships. And it does, like you said, it's heartbreaking that they probably could have helped each other through some unhappy times.
Mm-hmm.
You know, certainly there were bigger issues in play than like anybody can magically fix for someone else. But it still is. That is, I think I agree, the heartbreak really of their story. Oh, siblings.
Yeah.
So that wraps up our casual Friday for today. I hope you have a wonderful weekend. And if you would like to subscribe to the podcast, you absolutely can do that. And we welcome it. You can do that on the iHeartRadio app, at Apple Podcasts, or wherever it is you listen.
Stuff You Missed in History Class is a production of iHeartRadio. For more podcasts from iHeartRadio, visit the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you listen to your favorite shows.
I'm going out with the girls this weekend. Nails done, outfit stunner, and my skin? I know it's going to be glowing because I glammed up my shower routine with new Olay Indulgent Moisture Body Wash. It smells so luxurious and deeply moisturizes with its super rich, creamy lather that's bursting with vitamin B3 complex. So my skin glows and my confidence grows. Try new Olay Indulgent Moisture Body Wash for glowing skin in just 14 days.
Happy Pride from Tomboy X, celebrating Pride and the queer community all year. Queer founded, queer run, and the makers of the original boxer briefs for women, creating sustainable size and gender inclusive underwear, swimwear, and loungewear for all bodies so you feel comfortable in your own skin. Tomboy X just dropped their Pride 24 collection, obsessively fit tested for all day comfort in sizes 3 extra small through 6X. Visit TomboyX.com.
NFLShop.com is your one-stop shop for officially licensed NFL gear to rep your favorite team. Check out the latest arrivals of jerseys, t-shirts, and much more. You'll find everything you need for a winning season with the best selection of NFL gear you'll find anywhere. Assemble your fan uniform for cheering on your team everywhere from the stadium to your couch. Shop an unbeatable selection of gear to showcase your team pride and style. To shop now, go to NFLShop.com.
This is Raquel Willis from Queer Chronicles. Right now, there are close to 500 anti-LGBTQ plus bills in state legislatures across the country. Lambda Legal is leading the charge against these hateful bills that target mostly trans and non-binary people. You can fight discrimination and help write the next chapter of Lambda Legal history. To learn more about their open cases and to donate, visit lambdalegal.org. That's lambdalegal.org.